You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. It's David Baer here. And, you know, I was thinking as I was doing a little research on our guest's website today, about back in my college days, I actually lived with a bunch of percussionists. I went to a college and music conservatory. And so there was an interesting, you know, element on his website. I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. And then he sends his bio where he says, and I have to get this right because I can't remember exactly what the word was. He is a bubble blower, I think was the phrase that I saw. And I started scratching my head and thinking, what the heck? I don't really understand who this guy is. Let's dig deeper. And I figured, well, I could either try to figure this all out myself, or I could just ask him here on the air during our conversation. So today we're chatting with Jeff Brown, who is the owner of a company called Box 6 Marketing. And maybe we can start by like understanding what some of this cryptic stuff that I've been talking about, what's behind it. And then I want to actually circle back to why I'm even bringing any of this up. So Jeff, welcome.
Thank you.
So you got to explain a little bit, and then I'll explain why I actually am asking all this.
Sure. Yeah, the bio is professional figure outer, bubble blower, general former butterfly farmer. It's just this random collection because honestly, I find the entire industry of marketing absolutely fascinating, and I find it to be incredibly diverse. And so it ends up becoming a jack of all trades in a lot of different professional elements that sometimes have to be developed mid-flight, sometimes end up referring back to something from when you were 11 years old that gives you a competitive edge. And you know, that's why I studied business in the first place, just because of that diversity and creativity tied with analytics. It's a beautiful blend of both sides of the brain. So why not throw that into the bio and make it even more what?
Exactly. And then there was the part about me going to college with percussionists and the name of your business. And I wonder if you can illuminate that as well.
Sure. Yeah. Little known fact, there is a professional organization for marching bands. Most of the American listeners have been to a football game and the marching band performs during halftime. And the same way that the kids that play football aspire to the NFL, there's actually a professional league for the marching bands. And I did that for 6 years in an organization called Drum Corps International. And they tier their scoring into scoring categories, box 1 through 5. And so the idea of box 6 is very personal. It is going beyond just the absolute performance. It's going beyond checking boxes because there's very few things that exist in marketing that are simply formulaic. A plus B equals C usually isn't the case. It takes that creative spin of doing something that's going to connect with somebody on an emotional level. So box 6 is that reminder that you have to go above and beyond. You cannot treat everybody exactly the same, and there is no formula that applies from one person to the next.
That last little bit that you were just talking about there is actually the reason why I brought all this up. And it's the emotional connection, the interesting, the above and beyond, the different. And the fact that, you know, as I was reading through your bio and you just sort of, you know, shared some of the different ways you talk about yourself, and then the fact that there's a story behind the kind of curiosity grabbing name of the business, I think is a really great starting off point for positioning either one's self as sort of, you know, I hate this phrase, but as a personal brand, but also about the business, because ultimately there's a lot of curiosity that can be stirred up, and a great way to start off a relationship around the things that you've shared here, rather than the, okay, so, you know, where do you want to get ranked for this keyword on Google, right? Much less interesting conversation.
Yep. And it ends up being the top 10% of every single conversation, but it ends up being pigeonholed up at the front. That's why I love getting those deep, intimate relationships with other people, because you get past that. You get to the things that everybody suffers with, the imposter syndromes, the analysis paralysis, all of those elements that really make this industry exciting, honestly.
Here's part of the reason why I thought this was so important, because as we were talking beforehand, one of the pieces of the philosophy that you shared is that marketing can and ought to be accessible to any business on any budget. And what we've just been talking about, you don't have to spend a penny to actually leverage this stuff to get attention and make and get connection. And I thought that might be a kind of an interesting way to think about and frame the conversation today around how do you market, regardless of where you're starting, to be able to build from there.
We live in a time where it's easier to do than ever before. I mean, we have access to almost everything has a free element. And it's one of my absolute favorite words is bootstrap, because it equates to grit. Mm-hmm. You know, the person who's bootstrapping this project and they're doing it because we are crazy entrepreneurs who are wired differently from the rest of the world. It can be done more free than ever before. I mean, you think about the greatest content platforms that exist on the planet. 20, 30 years ago, it was TV stations, it was radio stations. Now we have content platforms that don't create content. They create partnerships with creators and they say, hey, we have access to billions of people, literally billions, and we're not creating anything. So if you create content that people enjoy consuming, then we're going to connect you with customers for free. Free is one of the best tools that you can have. Cause if you're just throwing money at something, you just throw it out. I need to pay for something. You don't even consider these potentially amazing tools that exist, mm-hmm. and you can leverage it with your time and your energy and that passion that you've got. You can funnel that into your effort.
Now, of course, there's got to be some planning and strategic thinking to put all of that in place. And I guess that's where, you know, someone with your experience comes into the picture, is that you can actually invest that time and energy. But if you don't know what you're doing or where you want to bring people in that journey toward being a customer, client, patient, whatever, donor, that you have to really, really understand sort of the structure of things.
Yeah. And it's accessible, but I think the planning portion is absolutely clutch. As long as you understand when you begin, where the starting point is at for that planning, where do you need to begin, but also the ending point, because that becomes the place where a lot of people get hung up and they can live in their fear. If they just keep planning, then they never have to do. They never have to put themselves out there.
So a lot of marketers I talk to, you know, I go and I vet them, look at their website and see what their services are. And they list, you know, that they can run traffic with paid media. They can, you know, get the website ranked well on, you know, whatever platform they're promising. And among the services that you list are things like revenue analysis, mm-hmm. market research, right? Things that I don't immediately think of. Well, I do, but most don't immediately think of.
Yep.
When it comes to marketing, I wonder if you can sort of talk about how you came to those areas. And those are just a couple of many things that you and your team do, but how you chose to focus and prioritize those, because they're actually like right at the top of the list on your website of things that you do.
Yeah, they came from many years of trial and error of, you know, I know this is going to work. I'm going to try this thing. And then you shoot it out and you think you've got this really big gun and it's firing blanks. Like, why is it firing blanks? And a lot of back and forth of talking to customers and owners and find that the preparedness, really what we're doing is we're trying to figure out how to tell a story. We want to engage with somebody. We don't want to offer a product. We want to offer a solution, all of the marketing textbook answers, but we really are storytellers. And I don't want to write a story to somebody who doesn't want to hear it. So I can make more efficient use of budget dollars by doing a little bit of research and understanding who we're trying to talk to. All of those things come from that preparing stage, that really putting it down on paper, that creating a living document or a brief or whatever the case might be. So that way, whenever we do begin, we're hitting the pain points. We're hitting the happy points. If you understand what the customer is, what they want, you know, one of my favorite analogies is that I don't really care about the traffic patterns in Pittsburgh, but this one stoplight at the end of my street is the one thing that will make or break my day. Mm. So if somebody wants to get to me, they go through telling me the story about this stoplight. It's making it relevant, and you can't be relevant without the insight, and the information is out there. It's just research, taking the time to really, in a way, stop and listen. We call it data analysis. but we figure out who exactly we're talking to, what we're trying to say, and what we're going to do to make their life a little bit better if they use us. So yeah, it's clutch.
I love this way of describing it. And I wonder, as you start off working with a new client on a new project, right, what that might look like tangibly, like how do you go through that process with them, without them, together, you know, are they contributing? How does that work?
It begins on the intake of saying, hey, look, I know what you've got in your mind. First thing I need to communicate to you is that these people are not vending machines. We're not just going to put in a dollar and pop out a sale. It takes some time. We've got to get to know these people. So the first thing that's going to happen, and I'm just quoting right here, is that we're going to be doing a lot of behind the scenes. We're building the props. We're setting the stage. We're hiring, vetting, doing costuming, hair and makeup, the whole nine yards, mostly in the metaphor.
Yes. But
it's requiring that buildup, because you've given me something that you say, for example, you've given me your Instagram channel where all you've done is post pictures of the same purse over and over again. And we want to figure out why that's not working. We want to figure out why that's not responding. And marketing is educated guessing over and over again. We're going to create our A/B tests. We're going to try to figure out as many answers as we can through reading comments on YouTube videos or looking up reviews of, you know, customers and other products and say, you know, how were they thinking? What words really reach them? And so a lot of that stuff's going to happen behind the scenes. You're not going to see a lot of this stuff and the impact on the front end. And then I'm going to end up delivering you this 4-page document that you don't realize took 30 hours of research just to build. It doesn't look like anything fantastic, but you're going to see us pull out of the same garage that you've pulled out of multiple times. But our car is going to look completely different. And it's because we're doing all this preparation on the front end. Mm-hmm. So our first stage is that we're going to be getting to work. I'm going to hit you with these random questions, but let's check back in a week. Let's check back in 2 weeks. I'm going to show you what I'm finding. We're going to ask you some questions. We're going to clarify not only the customer, who you're trying to reach, but I want to clarify the message that you want to transmit other than give me your money.
Yeah. This is something that I think many marketers miss, and I'm glad that you're spending time with a client to sort of talk through this. There's expectations on you know, a service when we go into a business and we say, hey, I need this outcome, right? And sometimes that outcome gets delivered right away, right?
Yeah.
You buy that purse that has been posted on social media over and over and over again, mm-hmm. or sometimes there is a process to get to that outcome. And what you've just described is sort of the beginning phases of the process. You also address a question, which I assume is a very common question on your website, about the speed of results. And this is something else that I think more marketers ought to do. And you do it, I think, quite nicely in addressing that question about talking about, you know, things that have to happen immediately and things that you're building over time. I wonder if you can elaborate a little bit on that.
It's custom every single time, because the varying product that you're going to end up utilizing and the strategy you're going to use, whatever, they're going to have different deliverables. If we're building a meta ad campaign, we can expect a couple results pretty quickly, and then we can try to ramp up those results. If we're building a social media strategy for organic content, it's going to take a little bit while, especially if we're establishing the channel from zero. So the biggest thing that I've gone through in learning how to do this effectively is to not try to make more empty promises. We're not going to set KPIs that are going to be a real hard stretch. Mm-hmm. I'm going to really be really honest and transparent about it. I'm going to say, hey, look, I'm going to try to get you $5,000 in opening day whenever you open this new location. I'm going to attempt to do it, but I don't know anything about that market yet because we haven't started doing anything. Or a lot of times it takes the humility to be able to come back in and say, you know, I've got a proposal that I'm going back to later today. I'm going to say, hey, I've been thinking about your project. I've been thinking about what you're trying to accomplish, and I want to amend what I said. Like, I want to come back and I want to give you a new rate. I want to give you a new option. And here's what I think you need to do. I think it speaks to a whole lot of professional integrity to be able to put your hat in your hand and say, hey, I was wrong, but I'm going to pivot and I'm going to adjust and let's make this better for you. We are building the plane mid-flight in a lot of ways. because you're already out. Your business is already functioning and operating. And so I'm learning more about you and I'm learning more about your brand. And that requires some give and take. So sometimes it's going to be like that. But being humble about it is really the best way to make those deliverables. I'm constantly doubting, constantly fighting myself, constant imposter syndrome. It affects me just the way it affects everybody else. But it's just going. Just do and be ready to change direction anytime you have to. If somebody doesn't, 5 years ago, whenever they started their agency, they'd still be posting on Facebook with all of their content. Mm-hmm. You have to adjust.
Yeah. It's not what somebody typically walks in the door looking for their business, no. Right? So you have to get them to this point. And I think that's, I think it's my philosophy is that we have a kind of broken system with the way that marketing and marketing services, supports businesses, simply because we've gotten into the structure of, all right, I sell a widget, and the business owner says, okay, I'm going to go and buy a widget, rather mm-hmm. than thinking more broadly, more strategically, more systematically around what they're trying to achieve at the far end of that purchase. Yeah. And so you have to take them from where they are at the moment that they first engage with you to where they ought to be thinking.
Yeah. And that, honestly, professionally, that's my gauge on whether or not I'm going to be able to work with a client or not. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the litmus test. That if I'm saying, hey, here's where you need to be going. Somebody comes to me and they say, hey, I'm doing this. I'm writing a blog. I really need to get a lot of publicity. I need to get on TV. Can you tell me about your networks and all this stuff? I'm like, dude, you don't want TV. You want to be where the world's attention is at. Mm-hmm. Things like social media, blogs, articles, podcasts, these elements, this is where the world's attention is currently at. And he's like, okay, yeah, I understand. So how are you going to get me on streaming TV? Okay. Yep. Noted. If you're not willing to come off of your position,
yep.
then you are going to keep me to those unrealistic standards that you already have in your mind that are based on nothing other than your preconceived notions of what you think this is going to look like. You hired me to do a job. Do you want to do it yourself? The answer is obviously no, because you're paying me to do it. So let go of the wheel. And that's usually the decision point on whether or not we will work with somebody, whether we'll accept it or we'll say, look, I don't think this is going to work. Here's who I think that you need to look for. You might need to just go look for an ad buyer who's just going to buy ads and sell products. Nobody's ever going to connect with you. Nobody's ever going to buy a second time, but that's what you need.
You arrived at the point that you're at, right? You're several years into running and managing an agency that's serving small businesses, but you had actually been in roles supporting businesses in either other businesses that you've owned or other capacities. Like my least favorite, that what we call our common enemy, right? Which is the sales rep who's going out and selling advertising.
Yep.
Right. And so I'm curious to know, so like, what brought you from where you were into building what you now have and shifted your perspective on all of that?
Part of it was the inescapable gravity of marketing. I mean, I was wired that way when I was a kid, and it just took me a long time to realize that. I was a big Braves fan growing up, and I remember watching the 95 series, if I can age myself with that real quick. I remember watching the series and seeing the banners on the home run fences. Like, how did Geico get on the fence? I'm just sitting here thinking, focusing on marketing instead of paying attention to the score. And so no matter how much I bounced around, college, you did the Starbucks thing, you do all these odd jobs. And I always ended up attracting to that direction. It was always relationship and building relationship. When you're working in ad sales, it's your Rolodex. This, the higher it can be stacked, the bigger your network can be. And to remain exactly front of mind. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I found it unfulfilling on a personal level, because I want to have an ongoing long-term relationship. Most of the people on my team have been a part of the team for at least 3 years. I really know these people and clients. The longer we work together, the more rich and savory our relationship becomes, because I know how you want to answer this situation. I know how you want to respond to this comment. I know how you want to treat this client. And so I found the depth that came with time and relationship to be so much better. In fact, that's how I got into this. I was working with a mentor, and she said, you know, what do you want to do? Like, your day to day, what would be perfect? And I said, I think entrepreneurs are a special breed of crazy, because we work crazy hours and we don't get paid for it, and we keep doing it, and we create a vision that nobody else understands, and then we dig into it for years. I love working with those people. My day being full of exchanging emails with the owner operator, the person who's still making the day-to-day calls. I love that. I absolutely love that. And she said, well, that exists already. And it looks like this and this and this. And I was like, wait, I can charge money for that? Like, are you kidding me? This is fantastic. So yeah, that's the fulfillment. And even when times are really great and when times are really hard, it makes it continue. Mm-hmm. And it turns even the vague concept that was my agency, you know, I've helped people create tangibility out of their concepts, and mine has done the same thing. There are now thousands of people that recognize the brand. I'm hoping in a few years, it'll be a higher number. But I love what I do. As scary as it gets, or as terrible as it gets, or as awesome as it gets, I still love it.
That's an awesome answer. I love the enthusiasm behind the relationship with the clients. You have a somewhat diverse range of types of businesses that you're working with. And, you know, we started by talking about the potential for some ease and simplicity in marketing. I wonder if you can give us a couple of examples, maybe two ends of the spectrum. Like, what is something that is simple, straightforward, that you've implemented with a client that really, you know, made an impact? Because simple can make an impact. Right. That one traffic light in Pittsburgh being the example. Right.
Yeah.
And then maybe, you know, show us, you know, something that's a little bit more complex that you maybe worked out or worked toward or with the client as well.
I'd say the earlier stages, which is why I keep such a wide berth as far as industries, because most of the marketing 101, the first six steps of most any marketing campaign are going to have striking similarities. You know, if every attorney's client that comes in for a divorce or an adoption, like, the beginning of that process is going to be identical each time. And then it diversifies as it gets more complicated. Most of the time, if somebody's starting a brand or if their brand is stagnated, all they need is to see where the opportunity lies, which is, again, let's tie it back to research and development, revenue analysis. You seek out those opportunities. And then most of the time, the first stages are the same. Okay, well, you've been posting all this content on Facebook and all of a sudden your engagement has dropped to practically zero. That's not your fault. That's Facebook. People bailed. So let's get you to start a TikTok channel and start taking some of that old content and just putting it out. And that's easy. You take all your old videos and you start posting them on TikTok. That's a very, very simple formula. So creating a brand new page from zero and creating a strategy that first year is going to be really consistent. It's the same thing as if you want to lose weight. You don't have to have perfect technique whenever you work out. You just need to start going to the gym. That's it. Weight will start falling off at that point. So, you know, that's actually more common with clients that are coming in, because they're still fresh enough. They're still drinking milk enough that they're really receptive to professionals that have been doing this for a long time and have a lot of experience. More complicated, the one thing that has come to my mind is I'm in Nashville, so Music City, and there is a 47, there at the time was a 47-year-old music venue, world-renowned, 145 seats. Place was small, and the place was doing shows 7 days a week and was turning away just as many people as were coming in. And owner was 73 years old, and we were starting to build a really good relationship and some great trust. And so I said, you know, I kind of want to remove the ceiling of selling seats, because you're losing a ton of money by doing this. And you don't really want to change the vibe. You don't want to add another 100 seats, because you're going to ruin the ambience that attracts people literally from all over the world. Mm. And so did some analysis, did some research, and this is in 2018, and we built a streaming product. We set up cameras and connected everything to the live audio system, you know, took advantage of most of the systems that were already in place, and built a streaming product that people could come in and watch from anywhere in the world. You know, these people that come in every 3 years from Germany, and they get to stay for a week and watch as much of this music as they possibly can, and then they have to go home and miss it for the next 3 years, they can now watch it every single day. And the explosion of popularity that came from it and the additional opportunities that came coincidentally launched the product less than a year before the pandemic began. And at that time, I believe we were the only live music production that was occurring, because we only needed the band, sound guy, video guy, and that was it. And we were creating music. And so we ended up getting tied to, oh gosh, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, Fallon, the Grammys, because we could create, we could still create. And so it ended up creating a monthly subscription product that ended up generating, at the time I left, it was generating about $230,000 a year in revenue for a business that was doing about $300,000 a year in gross. So that was a lot more complicated logistically. The marketing strategies had to constantly adjust, especially during times like a pandemic. And it was extremely complicated, very, very emotionally draining, but entirely worth the legendary status that it created for this brand.
There's something in that story that I think for a listener who's not paid attention to the one little nuance that I picked up on here, which I think is really, really important to highlight. And that's the fact that you were playing the role of a marketing service provider, but your solution was actually about business model, right? Which is not necessarily something that a marketing service provider, that a space that they play in. And so it gives you the opportunity to really help address the core problem that a business is experiencing by expanding the definition of what you're capable of doing. And that was, an excellent example of how you have taken down the walls or looking outside of the proverbial box, right, when it comes to what you can deliver to a client.
Yeah, in its very nature, it offers that kind of lens difference, because Jack's Burgers, he makes burgers. He's thinking about the hats that he has to exchange. He's HR, he's legal, he's accounting, he's management, he's all of these things at the same time. He literally cannot see the forest from the trees. The only way he'd be able to do that is to take a step back, and not physically, but emotionally, and then be able to see his product from a fresh perspective. It's one of the greatest benefits of bringing in a marketing professional after you've already gone out of the gate, is they get to see it in a way that you've never seen it. And the fact that my DNA is just going to have everything going with marketing, it drives my friends crazy, because they're like, look, I don't need a solution. I've got a friend who owns an audiobook studio in Nashville and records audiobooks constantly. He's like, sometimes I just want to tell you a cool story. I don't need to have a new product. I'm like, okay, I promise I'm trying not to. But that lens offers an advantage in so many ways, because it's pretty normal that we can oftentimes find a revenue channel that you're not even aware of, usually relatively simply based on the resources that you have. So it's a fresh perspective, and it works for you because sometimes we can't even turn it off. So it's a major advantage of having a new angle on an old problem.
Yeah. And that doesn't work for the guy who comes in the door wanting SEO. And as soon as you present another idea, they're like, no, I just want to talk about SEO. But yeah, when you have the business owner who recognizes the value and what you're delivering there, that's gold for you and for them.
Precisely. Yeah. And the output, they win. That's part of the other reason I love doing this, is that they win and therefore I win. So the focus on that is so much easier to sleep at night, and it's so much better interactive to markets and world events, and it really builds true and genuine trust and relationships, and that's long term.
You have a team of folks that work with you on the various projects that you're supporting, and based on sort of what I'm hearing from you today, the types of projects can be all over the place, and I'm wondering, where do you regularly kind of, what are the things you revisit, and how do you, when you have an opportunity to help a client in a new area, how do you work through that process of being able to either expand your capabilities or find the right solution for that need?
That one's layered.
It was.
There's a lot of strings attached to that ship. There, First off, it has to go through the ethical evaluation because, you know, I work with people across the world. I find specialists. I don't care where they live. And sometimes that that involves a lot of different cultural differences. We have a lot of different circles that overlap, and I need to find that common ground to make sure that everybody on my team is going to be ethically okay with doing this project. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell a client no. And I've practiced this philosophy for the last 5.5 years now, is that I would rather fire a client than a team member. And I will, and have done it before. If somebody is stressing out one of my people just because of how they choose to do business, I'll let that client go before I lose that person, because that person means a lot more to me. There's going to be another client somewhere. And so, you know, running it through the team, and there's oftentimes where I'll meet with somebody and we'll have a really great conversation and say, hey, I'm interested in doing this, but I've got a couple people that I need to run it by first, and I'll follow up with you in 24 hours. So there's that element there. The second thing that I look for is how can we tie processes into similarity? Just because any kind of repeatability that you can get does lower costs, it lowers energy expenditure. So how can we tie these in? Like our social media production system, the actual content and management system is very similar from client to client. The type of content that we're outputting is drastically different. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankfully in a stage right now where vertical short form video is pretty much universal. And then you can customize based on the platform that you're creating for. So anytime that we can fit it into a duplicatable process, I like to. But then at the end of the day, once we've zoomed in and kind of navigated the area, then I'll try to zoom out and say, all right, now this is going to be the package for this client. This is what we're going to promise them. We're going to communicate this from the very beginning. We're going to make sure that their expectations are in the same place as ours. And then we're going to package this up, which means no two clients are ever the same. And that's a bit of a headache sometimes, but it does make a much better end result. It makes it more possible to take advantage of existing opportunities. An audiobook studio in Nashville is going to be different than a smoothie franchise in Florida, and is going to be different than a plumbing company in Manhattan. They're all going to have different needs. So the navigation of it usually ends up taking a little bit longer, but it's usually worth the energy because, again, you get that long-term happy customer at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, I so appreciate the customization, even though the working through the process framework might be the same, what you're actually doing or how you're implementing each of the areas that you need to implement in could be different. But not being cookie cutter is there's a lot to be said for that. And sometimes cookie cutter is all that's needed as well. Right.
Yeah, it depends on the product. But mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm willing to pay a lot less money to have a cookie cutter version that I don't need to be fully customizable. And, you know, I love that chicken sandwich in the little paper wrapper that much that I'm going to go get the same one every time. I don't need to make it special. But sometimes I do, you know, I've got a broken foot. I want customized treatment when I go to the doctor. So it really varies. But yeah, I think marketing is one of those things where everybody is incredibly unique and they need to be treated that way.
You have a very clear philosophical approach to the work that you do. I'm curious for folks who are interested in saying, gosh, I like this guy. I like the way he thinks. Where can they find you and learn more about what you do and what else you think?
Best way to tie in is I'd love to meet anybody who's feeling that way. Just love to talk. I want to hear the story. That's part of the excitement beforehand is yeah, just getting tied in. So we've got a landing page that's specifically for creating contact. It's box6marketing.com/socials. That's box spelled out, the number 6, and then marketing.com/socials. That shows what we've got going. That shows you know, different ways to get in touch that'll basically fit your own medium. If you prefer a social media DM, you like the lack of commitment, that's fine. If you want to send the email, that's cool too. So that's the easiest way.
Excellent. So that's box6, the number 6, marketing.com/socials.
Yep.
Excellent. Jeff Brown, thank you so much. This has been a really fun conversation, and I appreciate you keeping up with my multi-layered questions.
Yeah, you can't see the whiteboard over here, but it was fun. It was really fun.
Indeed. Thanks. Folks, you've been listening to More Perfect Marketing. If you know somebody who could benefit from listening to the conversation you just heard, please send them our way. Until next time, my name's David Baer. See you soon. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.